Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Now, Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Now, you can show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, or get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it, so what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com, W-I-X.com, and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
RotoGrinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast, bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is up? Want to welcome you to the Monday edition Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. We are presented to you by our friends over there at FanDuel.com. Of course, I've been talking about FanDuel on this very show for a long, long time now, and hopefully you've gone over there, made that deposit. If not, now's a great time to do it. Certainly go through our links here on Roto Grinders, get access to our incentives for a year for every sport we offer them for. And tonight over there on FanDuel, obviously they've got NBA and MLB going on. I'm seeing like a $333,000 shot tournament there in the NBA. Don't be afraid to mix things up a little bit on that on a two-game slate. And then, of course, for Major League Baseball today, the squeeze at $100,000, $3 entry, and the Grand Slam as well at $125,000 at a $25 entry. And if you're looking for Playboy qualifiers, the usual two that we've had, the $25 buy-in and the $500 tonight. So there you go. That's what we got going on over there at FanDuel. We thank them for putting their name on the show. Hopefully you had a good weekend, enjoyed a lot of the sports out there. You've got the NFL draft obviously got wrapped up, and that was always fun. You know, it's people are already projecting, you know, what guys are going to make fantasy impacts, and clearly, you know, Ezekiel Elliott going to Dallas is like the biggest fantasy story out there. Oh, we saw what DeMarco Murray did. We saw, you know, the somewhat rejuvenation of Darren McFadden last year, so Zeke Elliott should go crazy, and he should. I mean, that was just like a great landing spot for a fantasy player. It's, you know, some of the other picks, very interesting, seeing Cleveland go up and get Corey Coleman. I'm going to go on record, though, and say the worst pick of the draft. You ready for this one? And I made a little jab at our sponsor FanDuel on Twitter with this one. Was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not just drafting, but trading back into the second round to take the kicker out of Florida State. Now, I don't know for sure if FanDuel was a sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers draft room, but it wouldn't surprise me with that move of taking a kicker in the second round, because if you don't know, not a fan of kickers for fantasy, to say the very least. But how ludicrous is that to take a kicker that high up? Especially when you're Tampa Bay and you're not good, you've got like a million things that you can improve upon, and you spend second round pick on a kicker? I mean, I'd say like a fourth round pick is questionable, but second? Craziness. But there you go. That's the worst pick in the draft. But overall, fun NFL draft this weekend, and just gives us a little taste for NFL season, which is still a ways away. But man, is that a whole lot of fun. Certainly looking forward to that. But we got busy MLB tonight, so we will clearly go through all these games, give you the pitchers we're looking at, the hitters. I really like this slate tonight. It's not like a full, like 15 gamer, like we sometimes get. It's, pretty good mix of high-end pitchers, maybe some value guys you can look at. So, and no Coors Field. That's always fun. No Coors Field. But I will say this, especially over on DraftKings today, their algorithm, again, they weight matchups, they weight ballparks, and I think they weighted the Petco Park a little bit too much because I think the Colorado Rockies stack going to be somewhat popular over there. You shouldn't be able to get cargo under 4K versus a righty, but apparently you can today, and Charlie Blackmon and a few other guys. So look to the Rockies today over on DraftKings as a value stack, but I'm sure you won't be alone in that one. But we'll kind of break it all down here in just a moment. But before we do, and we get to the game analysis, Mother's Day right around the corner, Books.com. It's sneaking up on you, but it's not too late to put in your order for the best flowers of mom's life, and it's at Books.com, B-O-U-Q-S. Their flowers are just gorgeous, put it in a word. And the fact of the matter is, they're grown down in South America on an eco-friendly farm over there on a volcano. So that means you get larger blooms, they last longer, colors are more vibrant, and the bottom line is they're just great and easy to use. I know I've bought flowers in the past, and you go in thinking like, yeah, I'm going to spend like, you know, 30, 40 bucks on flowers. Next thing you know, it's like 120 bucks when you check out. Not at the Books. It's $40. And again, if you register with the Books, you get free shipping on that. And still plenty of time to get it to mom for this weekend. So, like we always do here, we ask you to support our sponsors that allow us to bring you these podcasts. Books, again, their prices start at a mere $40, no upcharges, no extra fees, and again, delivery free when you register. Listeners to the podcast get 20% off the bouquet of your choice. Just go to Books.com and enter the promo code ROTO. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com, promo code ROTO, Books.com, promo code ROTO. All right, let's get into MLB for tonight. Again, we're using FanDuel as our source of salaries discussion here today. And again, only one pitcher. So we'll try and cover a few guys that I certainly like. On the high end today, we got Cueto and Keuchel at 10-6 and 10-5 on FanDuel. And I think the majority of people are going to be looking to Cueto here. And I get it. You know, this is a really good matchup for him going against a Reds offense that has really been lackluster. You get the revenge factor. You know, he pitched in Cincinnati for so very long. And a solid favorite. Not a huge favorite, but solid at minus 149. Going against Brandon Finnegan, total in that game at 7.5. I like him, but for me, and I think even for my cash games, I'm going to look to Dallas Keuchel. Here's a guy who has really been elite when at home, and if you look at his last two starts on the road at Seattle, on the road at Texas, 18 and 15 fantasy points. His last home start came against Detroit and gave you 48 fantasy points that day. I think that's more in line with what we're going to see. He has spent a lot of time on the road, looked like four of his five starts on the road this season, and then he gets a Minnesota team that for the better part of last season and this year has been a much worse hitting team on the road than at home. So we've got all the splits kind of matching up here. Keuchel gives you nice K upside here when you look at the matchup versus the Twins. And, you know, I think in years past, the Twins were a team that we didn't really want to take lefties against. You obviously had Dozier and Plouffe, you know, who are always better versus lefties. But this lineup doesn't really scare me. Even guys like Sano and Byung-ho Park have actually had better splits versus righties than lefties. So I think Keuchel gets it going today. I'm going to call for him to have, you know, at least, I'll say 6.5 to 7 strikeouts. Not that you can get a half. So we'll go 7 strikeouts tonight for Keuchel. And if he gets a win alongside that, that's a pretty good spot. And he's a minus 180 favorite. Now, there's a little concern because he's got Berrios going across from him, and we'll talk about him in a minute, but I'm not that worried here. The Astros, again, have been on the road for a while. Coming back home, I think he's in the best spot for the win today. And I love the fact that he's finally going to be pitching in the comfort of that ballpark. And everything matches up for me for Dallas Keuchel to be my cash game play. And at 10-5, it's not one of those ridiculous Kershaw 13K numbers, which, let's face it, he paid that number off this weekend when he got you 80 some odd fantasy points. But I don't see anywhere on this slate where, you know, we need to necessarily not be able to make him work. There's big bats, but there's nothing that, you know, middle tier bats that we can't go to that are going to give us solid results today. So Keuchel, number one option for me today. Cueto would be number two. I'm not on Gio. I'm not on Gerrit Cole. I don't see a reason to mess with Kansas City and Chicago. So I'm pretty much off with those guys. I think Wainwright is a guy that I can look to in tournaments. Philly is certainly playing better. You know, I think they've won like six straight games. But they haven't been scoring a ton of runs, but I like Wainwright to eventually get back in line, and this is maybe a spot for him at home to do that. Vegas, they like him, but they temper their enthusiasm a little bit at minus 160. He's got Hellickson going across from him, and Hellickson, like, mowed down the Nationals in that last start. I don't know how he did it, but I don't necessarily think that's going to happen again here today. So I think Wainwright for tournaments, if you need some salary relief, he is a guy that I'm willing to look to. Now let's get to Jose Berrios real quick. You know, in his first start, it was against Cleveland at home. Only pitched four innings, did have five strikeouts, but six hits and two walks, and gave up a handful of runs. So not a electric debut, but this guy was really, really good in the minor leagues. I mean, it's something that I don't think we can ignore here. And this is straight out of the premium that we have today. So shout out to our friend JM to win. These are the numbers that he put in AAA last year. He averaged one home run every 45 right-handed batters he faced, and then one home run every 77 left-handed batters that he faced last year. And the year before that, it was a home run every 150 right-handed batters he faced and every 67 left-handed batters he faced. So clearly, this guy does not give up a lot of long balls here. And certainly a team like Houston, that's kind of how they make their living. A lot of home runs, a lot of strikeouts. So I think that there's upside for him in this matchup. But A, I like Keuchel. So number one, I'm not obviously taking, playing these guys together. I just don't think this is the spot to do it. But on FanDuel, if you wanted to take a shot on him, again, if you wanted to differentiate, I kind of get it, because clearly this Houston offense can strike out a ton. But when these guys make their debuts, when they come into the league early, I talked about it last time, a lot of times it goes really well or not so hot. Last time it wasn't so hot. He's going to have a dominant start here sooner rather than later. I don't know if this one's it, but there's certainly a chance of it with the matchup that he's going against. Vegas kind of has this at an 8, which is about a fair number there. And at 6.2K on FanDuel for your tournaments, I'm okay with it, but I certainly would not use him in cash. And, if I'm playing just one or two lineups, I probably wouldn't do it. But if I was going to mass multi-enter a tournament or two, then yes, I think I'd throw him on a lineup just because the upside he gives you in the strikeout department, he was pretty elite. And again, this guy's a big, big, big-time prospect for the Minnesota Twins. The only other guy I'm looking at, that I'm looking at kind of on the lower tier, and he's min salary today. There's actually two guys here, Gray and Graveman. Graveman's a guy who clearly doesn't give you a lot of strikeout upside, but hasn't been worthless. You know, he did give you 8 Ks there against the Yankees. Now, that was a bit of an outlier, but 4 and 3 and 4 in the, 4.2, 6 and 5 innings he's pitched. The salary's so cheap on him that they're in Seattle, which is, going against Seattle, which is not a, great offensive team by any stretch. And we look Vegas here, 7.5 in a pretty even line. So, Nathan Carnes, you could look at these two guys. You can get Carnes at 8.2 against Oakland or Graveman at 5.2 against the Mariners at home. I'd save $3,000 and take a guy like Graveman over Carnes. But again, limited upside with the strikeout potential, but he's going to differentiate your lineups for sure if there's big bats you want to get in there. And then the other one is John Gray going against the Padres. Now, he is actually a tiny favorite here in this game, and the total in this one is 7.5. Now, Petco this year is not nearly as great of a pitcher's ballpark as we've seen in the past. Right now, I think they're ranked like right in the middle of the pack, like 17th, 14th in home runs allowed and runs scored. Now, it's still early in the season to be definitive to say, hey, this is not like the worst hitting ballpark in baseball. But early on, it certainly hasn't been. And The thing about Gray that I like today is this matchup. Padres' worst WOBA against righties so far on the season. That's been very obvious all year long. You've been able to roll those righties in there. And, you know, Gray has actually got a pretty good, you know, strikeout rate. So I think there's upside in using him from that perspective. Is he going to go deep into the game? Well, we really haven't seen that happen yet with him. This kid was a very highly touted prospect in the minor leagues for the Rockies. Back in my dynasty baseball days, he's a guy that I certainly targeted, but I honestly question why I did, considering he pitches for Colorado. But his minor league numbers were off the charts. So I think that this is a spot we could look at him. Second cheapest pitcher on FanDuel. I think I'd probably prefer Gray over Graveman if I'm going to go with one of these two guys here today, just because there's more strikeout upside in that matchup for him. But again, tournament play only. And on multi-pitcher sites, I might be a little bit interested in him. Let's look at what we've got here on the salary charts. Now, he's a bit more expensive on FanDuel. He's on DraftKings, the eighth most expensive pitcher on DraftKings at $7,900 to the 19th over there on FanDuel. So it just shows you like the difference between those algorithms. The other guy who checks in really high on DraftKings and not FanDuel is AJ Griffin, $9,200 on DraftKings, only $7,600 on FanDuel. I would not pay $9,200 for AJ Griffin going against Toronto. Not a chance of that one. The value guys, again, I don't hate Graveman at 5'8 on DraftKings. Again, so cheap over there for your SP2. I might be willing to give him a shot. And even Finnegan to a point here against the Giants. I know he's got Cueto, but on DraftKings, the win doesn't mean nearly as much. But the salaries are pretty light over there on DraftKings. So you can get Keuchel and Cueto in your lineup and probably make it work if you wanted to. So no need to necessarily go that route there today. All right, let's get to the game-by-game hitter analysis. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the pitchers potentially as well. Chicago and Pirates, 7:05. Hamill against Cole this game out there in Pittsburgh. The total pretty low at 7, and it could give you a little bit of interest in these pitchers, but I'm not going to do it because Hamill is only 200 less than Cole, who I think is the much better pitcher. But going against the Cubs offense, just don't like to mess with it. I mean, Cubs certainly can, you know, whiff a good bit. But I don't see this to be a top targeted game either way, because the pitchers are decent. The hitters are, you know, obviously good as well. So for me, it's kind of like a pass, especially when I see Vegas throwing it up there at a 7. If this is an 8.5 or a 9, then maybe you think differently about it. But I'm not seeing a whole lot of, you know, top plays potentially in this one, especially for the heavy price tag that you're paying over there on FanDuel. 4-1 for Fowler, 4-5 for Bryant, 4-7 for Anthony Rizzo. All too expensive for my blood. I don't mind maybe a Ben Zobrist potentially at 3.3, but we prefer him versus lefty. So just not a top targeted game for me. And same goes for the Pirates. And maybe you could look at a lefty like Gregory Polanco potentially getting hot. I know he you know, took one deep yesterday, and maybe he can keep that going. You know, two hits in that game against Cincinnati. But before that, not a whole lot going on. Obviously, in Colorado was pretty good, but who isn't? But overall, Pittsburgh-Chicago, kind of a pass for me today. Blue Jays and the Rangers, Griffin against Dickey. I don't really know what to make of R.A. Dickey against this Rangers offense. Knuckleball, always kind of tricky here. These prices on the guys are fair. You know, Odor at 3.9, Mazzara 3.2, Beltre 3.4. So nobody over 4K for them. And then A.J. Griffin against the Blue Jays. I think A.J. Griffin is pitching completely over his head. He does not miss a lot of bats. And if there's a spot for Toronto at home to get healthy, and they kind of need to because they haven't been hitting the ball particularly great, this is where it can happen. And I think Tulowitzki at 3-4 is a tremendous value at shortstop, which is often a frustrating position to roster, so I can get behind him. Encarnacion at first base as well on FanDuel, really cheap at 3.4. I believe he's actually taken Mr. Griffin deep as well in his career. It's only 9 at-bats, but 2-for-9 did send one out of the ballpark there against him. So, nice price tag. I mean, you can stack these guys up pretty cheap. Michael Saunders, take a look for him if he's batting at the top of the lineup as well. He's definitely a guy I'd be interested in looking at. So, Blue Jays stack, you know, again, if you're stacking multiple teams every day, they should almost always be one of them. But I think tonight, Vegas is letting us in on something here, too, because R.A. Dickey has not pitched well, and he's checking in at about a minus 140 favorite as of 10 o'clock this morning. Braves and Mets, Foltynewicz against Bartolo Colon. I don't like Colon. I don't know. Maybe it's that he's old, or maybe it's he just throws two pitches, but I just don't ever roster him, even against a team like the Braves. Now, I don't have a game line on this one. I'll be curious to see what this checks in at. I think that if I was setting it, I'd probably go the Mets minus 190 because Foltynewicz has done one thing very, very poorly in his career, and that's pitched to left-handed bats. If you look at the WOBA we have in the last 17 games, a 445 WOBA to lefties, a 656 slugging to lefties. That's not good. That's, in fact, terrible. So, and it's even worse when you consider the Mets. You know, they've been the hottest bats over the last 14 days, and they've got lefty Granderson, lefty Conforto, lefty Duda, lefty Walker. Again, they have mashed right-handed pitching, and it's hard not to look at these guys. I mean, Conforto on DraftKings is like a plug-and-play at 3.8. On FanDuel, they juiced him up appropriately at 4.3. I mean, this guy's been making hard contact, and he'll probably be under-owned here on FanDuel just because people are used to getting him at, you know, 3.2K instead of the 4.3 they're going to have to today. So I like the Mets bats again, and I'm willing to stack-a-lacka with these guys once more, and no reason not to against Foltynewicz. Not, you know, I think maybe Shea Stadium's can I call it Shea Stadium? It's been a while since it's been Shea. City Field is maybe getting a worse rap than it deserves, and it hasn't really slowed them down thus far. So give me the Mets side on here. Granderson at 3.6, Duda at 3.4. Those are value options, but Conforto, Cespedes, it doesn't really matter. Righty-lefty for him at 4.4. He just mashes, and Neil Walker again at 4K. So I love the Mets again tonight. And then from the Braves standpoint, Freddie Freeman, an elite play here versus Bartolo Colon. BVP always up for debate, but I'll look at it especially with guys like Colon who throw really one style of pitch, and that's the fastball, and he throws it a lot. And Freeman, 9 for 20 against him in his career, 478 weighted OBA. And he's the best hitter they got by far. So I like him. He's also cheap on DraftKings. I kind of spotlighted him in my daily fantasy cycle video that I do for DKTV today. And yeah, he's a nice, nice option today at 3.2. But besides that, not much else I'm really, really looking at from the Braves side of things. Have to dig a little bit deeper, see if there's guys that just mash fastballs, because that's what you want going against Bartolo Colon. Giants and Reds, total at 7.5. Not a whole lot of guys I'm looking to roster here on either of these two teams. I think Buster Posey is going to break out versus lefties at some point in time. Finnegan has been pretty good so far early in his career, so I don't think it's like a lock to put him in there. But if there's enough value opening up for you and you want to pay up for catcher today, 3.4 is not a number that's it's going to kill you. So I don't mind him today. It is a good ballpark here as well for the Giants. Big upgrade going to a Great American Ballpark out there. So, you know, guys like him and Duffy, certainly people I'm keeping my eye on potentially today. As for the Red side, again, I don't see much reason to kind of look too much to them against Johnny Cueto. I'd be surprised if he does anything but, you know, pitch well in this matchup here back in Cincinnati, a place where he pitched for so long. So much better games to target. So let's move on to one, and that is LA and the Brewers. Of course, I'm talking the Angels. Weaver and Nelson. Weaver, boy, this guy's not a good pitcher anymore. Does not throw the ball hard. Does not miss many bats. And that doesn't bode well with guys like Braun and Chris Carter, Lucroy, Aaron Hill, and Santana and VR. I mean, this offense has been pretty good at home. If you stacked them up yesterday against the Fish, you probably made a bunch of money. And probably going to increase their ownership maybe a little bit today, but they're definitely a very healthy stack to look at. And I love Ryan Braun today at 4.3. His numbers versus righties, pretty solid for his career. I know we love talking him up versus lefties, but he's not a bad pitcher at all versus righties, or hitter at all versus righties as well. You know, Santana, mega cheap leading off at 2.6 on FanDuel, VR at 2.7, and even Chris Carter at first base at 3K. I mean, these guys can all go off, and, you know, some of these players we prefer versus left-handed pitching, but versus a soft-tossing righty, I'm not so worried about it. You know, Weaver Sierra is like 5-3-4 this year, so he can easily get pounded. Great ballpark, total at 9, everything kind of lining up. And then for Jimmy Nelson, you know, he's been fairly elite versus right-handed bats for his career, so guys like Trout and Pujols, a little bit of risk in that one, but the lefties with Ortega, certainly Cole Calhoun stands out today, and, you know, that's my little worry here. So there's not a lot of lefties to pick on Jimmy Nelson, but we've seen him blow up from time to time as well. So more along the lines of the Brewer side of this one, just because the handedness certainly matches up better for Nelson in the matchup. And I just don't like Jared Weaver. Just gives up a lot of home runs. And I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen again tonight. Berrios and Keuchel, I kind of talked about this game before. Again, I think that the Astros bats, the only way I'm really using these guys are any sort of stack against a young pitcher who gets smoked. But I'm not using any of these guys for cash games. And the same to be said for the Twins. I'm just not seeing any reason to take them on the road against Dallas Keuchel. So, again, pitchers, that's the story in that matchup. Now, Nats and Royals. You know, Bryce Harper hasn't hit a home run in a while. I hate to say this because Team Math will get mad at me, but he's definitely due to take one deep, but not the ideal spot, you know, not a great ballpark there in Kansas City. Volquez is a fine matchup for him. You know, he can take anyone deep. There's no question about it, but lowish total in this one at 7.5, and both these pitchers have been, you know, pretty decent so far this year. Now, you look at Edinson Volquez, you know, his game logs here, and, you know, did get hit around in that last start. There's no question about it. Gave up 12 hits in just 5 innings to the Angels, but 5 for the 2 starts before then. So, you know, we'll see whether or not that last start carries over here a little bit. But the Nationals, not usually a top team to target. Remember, I just mentioned it, they got shut down by Jeremy Hellickson in his last start, and that guy doesn't really shut down anyone. And then Gio, again, I don't use pitchers against the Royals, and I don't see a whole lot of Royals bats that stand out to me against Gio Gonzalez. So I'm just looking to other games and maybe this next one. Phillies and Cardinals, 7.5 the total. You've got the Cardinals favored at -160. And Hellickson's a guy who certainly can get hit by righties or lefties, and I think this is a nice matchup for the Redbirds. You know, you've got Carpenter leading off, Piscotty as well at 3.3, and Matt Holliday 3.1. Brandon Moss, we'll see whether it's him or Matt Adams in the lineup, or maybe both potentially in the lineup today, but there's definitely some power bats, and against Hellickson, who gives up a lot of home runs, I certainly can get behind that. Almeidas Diaz, I don't like him batting so low in the order, but he's in a pretty good spot here versus a right-hander, but 3K price tag, he'll have to be hitting higher up in the order for me to be interested in him, but I don't trust Hellickson at all, and I think that certainly the Redbirds are the side that I want. You could pick on Wainwright tonight and hope that the Phillies offense gets going, but despite them, you know, winning a lot of games, it really hasn't been the bats that's been doing it. It's more the pitching, so I'm not going to look to these guys, although they're very, very cheap out there, just not a top spot for me. Looking to see historically, you know, Howard, you know, 6-for-24 against Wainwright. Ruiz, 6-for-16. But not a whole lot of history here for these young bats for the Phillies against Adam Wainwright. Seattle and Oakland, Carnes against Graveman, another game that's really uninteresting from like any sort of stacking potential, because certainly from the Oakland side of things, their bats leave a lot to be desired. And Carnes is just a good enough pitcher where he could probably kind of keep them down. You know, he's, you know, had a pretty interesting start to the season. The strikeouts have been, you know, pretty consistent, 6-5-7-6, and the fantasy output, you know, at 51 in that last start. So, you know, Nathan Carnes could be an option for you on multi-pitcher sites here today, but he's not cheap enough, I think, for my liking. And then Kendall Graveman, a guy who's a ground ball pitcher, and that's hard to kind of get behind, you know, using the opposing offense behind, because we want those home runs, we want those big points. And you know, you look up and down the lineup, Aoki, Seth Smith, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz. I mean, you got lefties at, what, 5 of the top 6, which is somewhat interesting, and Cruz against a non-strikeout righty is somewhat interesting. So I guess there could be some stacking potential there, but only in a tournament, only if you were firing multiple lineups out there. Just not a top game target for me today. And then the Rockies and the Padres. I think that, again, the Rockies absolutely in play today. James Shields has struggled so far this season. And lefties, you look at some of the BVP numbers here today, it's pretty much through the roof. You've got Carlos Gonzalez, 9 for 25, 3 home runs. Charlie Blackmon, 6 for 25, 3 home runs. Nolan Arenado, 12 for 23, 4 home runs. Now, I'm sure a good portion of that happened out there in Coors Field, but as I've talked about already today, the Petco factor isn't as strong as certainly I think the DraftKings algorithm is making it out to be. So take advantage of it over there. And even on FanDuel today, you know, they're still a little bit priced up. Blackmon over 4, Story over 4, Cargo at 3.7 looks like a sharp cash game play. Arenado 4.8. All these guys, you know, really good plays, just whether or not you can make them fit. If you're going down cheaper in pitching, you certainly can. And then, as for the Padres side of things, I'm not seeing a whole lot of reason to take them versus Zuraide until they prove that they can hit them. So, you know, John Jay near the top of the order at 2.8, you know, he's, I guess, slightly interesting because he's cheap and, you know, his track record versus righties is good, but not great. Just 352 WOBA. Top bat versus righties has been Brett Wallace. So if he's in the lineup at 2.3, you're looking at a 408 WOBA, 5 home runs in the last 69 at-bats against right-handed pitching. And then Yandervis Solarte would probably be the next option. But besides that, they just don't hit righties very well. So forget about San Diego. Don't go there today. But with that, that's our quick rundown of all the games going on tonight in Major League Baseball. As I always tell you, I appreciate you guys giving us a listen and a download. And if you've got any sort of feedback whatsoever, you know where to find me. Dan at rotogrinders.com, at Dan underscore Bach on Twitter, at rotogrinders on Twitter. And NBA, you do have a two-game slate tonight, so check that out. I believe we've got a Periscope with our good friend Fast Eddie Fear as well tonight, so you can jump in on that to kind of check the NBA out. Let's see. NBA starts at 7 tonight. So, yeah, so we'll probably have a half NBA, half MLB, or probably more NBA than MLB on the 6:30 today. So check that out, both on Grinders Live and on the Periscope. And if you don't know how to get Periscope, then just follow us on Twitter, and then you will get said Periscope. But in the meantime, that does it for me today. I'm back on Sirius tonight from 6 to 7 with our friend Chris Prince. Until then, have yourself a great Monday in Daily Fantasy, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.